Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tzedi Zayin Umud Aleph by the two dots. The Mishnah told us, Echad ben tet shanim, v'yom echad, v'echad shu ben esrim shlo yvi shtei se'arot. The Mishnah says there's no difference between a child who is 9 years old in one day, whose biato is a biah, even though he's not considered to be an adult, meaning that he hasn't brought shtei se'arot, he hasn't reached the point of puberty, and someone who reaches the age of 20, without showing any signs of puberty. And they have the same status with regards to our Mishnah, and what we've seen until now with regards to the Mishnah is that their biyah, the Chachamim, made like Mamar. So that the biyah of a Katan, Ben Tesha Shanim V'Yom Echad, has the same status as Mamar of the Gadol. And that status will continue until he shows signs of puberty, until he becomes someone who's no longer Nigdar Ki Katan. So now the Gemara asks about this based on what we learned earlier in the Masechta. Vereminu ben esrim shana shalei vishtei sarot. A 20-year-old has yet to show any signs of puberty. Yaviu ra'aya shu ben esrim. They have to bring a proof that he's 20. Vu asaris lo choleitz v'lo miyabein. And he, the saris, doesn't do chalitza, doesn't do yibum. Bat esrim shana shalei vishtei sarot. A girl who reaches the age of 20 without any signs of puberty. Yaviu ra'ayashi bat esrim. They bring proof that she's 20. Here's a case where the other parties are made to bring proof. The fact that there's no need for either Yibum or Chalitza over here. So that's why it talks about ra'ya. Vihi ha'ailonit lo choletzit lo yimiti abemet. And this woman who's then classified as an ailonit will not have Chalitza or Yibum perform with her. So ha'it marala. On that, we have the Aramaic statement that qualifies that Mishnah. Amrav Shmuel Bar Yitzvak, Amrav, Vehu Shinoldo Lo Simanei Saris. That's only true if we have evidence of the fact that there are Simanim that he is a Saris. It's not enough simply that they reach the age without having reached puberty. And same for the woman. That's just not enough to classify them as Saris or Ailonit. They actually have to have Simanim that are Goder them or ensure that we know that that's the problem over here, that's the issue that we are facing. So now, in terms of the question, we have our Mishnah, who says that they are Negdarki Katan, that these individuals have a classification like a Katan until they show signs of puberty, meaning that endlessly they will be considered to be Tanim until they show signs of puberty, 20, whatever age it is. The other Mishnah that we just quoted seems to indicate that once they reach the age of 20, they are classified as gdolim. They have a status of a gadol, and therefore, since they haven't reached puberty, then they're out. So how come in that Mishnah, 20 is a threshold that says once you cross over 20, you're automatically an adult, but an adult that is classified as a saris, or an adult that is classified as an ailonit? In our Mishnah, there seems to be no such thing. In our Mishnah, it seems to be that even after you cross over 20, they're still considered to be a katan. To that, the Gemara says, you have the qualification of the Amuraim back on that Mishnah that tells us that they're, in order to be classified as an adult, they have to show signs of a saris, or signs of an ailonit. So that's the difference. They will be considered a katan, as long as there is no puberty, unless they show signs that they are a saris, or signs that they're an ailonit. Our Mishnah focuses on this aspect that they are considered to be katanim. That Mishnah is focusing on the aspect of once they are Negdar Ke Saris or Ailonit, then they're adults that won't perform Chalitza and Yibum because of Hakamat Shem Achiv. That's the only time that you're Chayav in Yibum. And since that's lacking, they're not Chayavim in Chalitza and Yibum. So Amarova Dekanami. So we can be Midayek. This difference between these Mishnayot, Diktani, Vehua Saris. In that Mishnah over there, it says, the Saris doesn't perform Yibum and Chalitza, which seems to indicate that we have him classified as a Saris. Not simply because he crossed over the threshold of age, but because he has Simanim that indicate to us that he is a Saris. Shma Mina. V'chi lo noldu lo simanei Saris ad kama. So now you have to ask the question, once we've established that that's the case, then is there an age threshold? Right now what the Gemara is suggesting is that 20 is not an age threshold. Even after 20, if they don't have simanim of a saris, or simanim ailonit, then the fact that they don't have signs of puberty just means that they are like a katan. Is there ever a threshold by which we say that they're for sure a gdolim, And this is not, these people are not going to ever reach the level of purity or ever reach purity. Is there such a threshold? We thought it was 20, but the way the Gemara is answering now, that's just not the case, because you not only have to not show signs of purity, you also have to show signs of a saris or signs of an ilonit. What happens if you have neither? You neither have signs of purity, but you also don't have signs of a saris or ilonit. All right, so now, Tani Debei Rabbi Chiya, Arov Shnotav, until he reaches the majority of his years, halfway through his life. Now that's somewhat of a circular logic, because how do you know when someone's reached halfway through their life if you don't know how long they're going to live? Right? Rov Shanim is only relevant if you know how long a person's going to live. That's the Gemara talks about certain times a person should Leolam Yashlish Adam Yamav. A person always should break up his life into thirds. You know, one third b'mikra, one third b'mishnah, one more third b'talmud. So he goes, how do you know how much is a third? Because you don't know how long you're going to live, so what do you know is a third? So that's why the interpretation means that a person should break his day down into thirds, not that he should break down his lifetime, because nobody knows his lifetime. So also over here, if you say rov shnotav, right, you don't know how long a person is going to live, so you have to assume that they're talking about a standard lifetime, and in their day, they would say shivim shana, 70 years, which is based on the pasuk in Tehillim, that we say, in Pesukah de Zimra and Shabbat, right, that a person reaches Ad Shivim Shana, and if he's lucky, Shmonim Shana. So 70 years usually is Negdar, Shnotav Shel Adam. So Rov Shnotav Shel Adam will be 35 plus. So I assume that's what the Gemara means in this instance as well. Kiatu the Kamei de Rova, when they brought individuals, Ktanim, or they aren't Ktanim anymore, these 20-year-olds, before Rova, who had not yet to reach puberty, Rava used to say the following, Ikachush, if he was weak and thin, Amar lehu zilu avrihu, go ahead and healthy him up, fatten him up. Vi'i barya, if he was healthy, if he was fat, Amar lehu zilu akachshuhu, go ahead and thin him out, bring him back to a normalized level. Dehani simanim, because these simanim, now, it's not clear here. I'm assuming the simanim here mean puberty, but you could read it based on the context. Simanim, saris, and ilonit, but more likely it refers to puberty. Zimni denatri machmat kichushuta. Sometimes they cause to fall out because of the weakness, meaning maybe there was puberty, but the hairs fell out because the person is so weak or so thin. Zimni denatri machmat biryuta. Or the same thing is true with healthiness. Healthy here means fat. Alright, because in their day, being fat was classified or synonymous with being healthy, because if you didn't have that, you weren't going to make it, because there were many times that food wasn't available, and you got sick, and so on and so forth. If you didn't have the body heft to survive, then you weren't going to survive, and therefore, being heavier was considered to be more healthy, and that's how the Gemara disguises over here, Kichusha and Biryuta. But Rava's basically saying is that anything that is off the normal track, or with outside the ranges of normal, that can cause the problem. And therefore we can't come to any conclusions with regards to these individuals in puberty until we get them to the state of normal. So he would have any child that was brought before him at least try to get to the state of normal to see if we could reach puberty with that. Okay, with that we end the perek, Adron Alach, Aisha Rabo. So now we begin a perek which also precariously is connected to the parak beforehand, as Tosafot points out, Aidi Ditana Bisha Rabo, so top Tosafot here on the Amud, since in the previous parak it says, the Ein Shchivat Achuta Osurta, if you remember the Mishnah in the previous parak and what we learned about, the fact that a woman's sister's affairs do not affect her, I mean the fact that her sister had an affair with her husband does not affect her status, the wife's status, and she's allowed to remain married to her husband. So, Tananami Bahai Perikot. So too, we continue here in this Perik. Deim Anas Isha Mutalisa Krovota. If a person rapes an individual, then their Krovot, their relatives are not restricted to him. So here we have some sort of parallel, which is you have someone having a relationship with a woman and not affecting the relatives. Just like in the previous Perik, you have a wife's sister not affecting her. If her husband has an affair with that wife's sister, that doesn't affect their ability of the husband and the wife to stay together. So that's why this is a continuation of the previous parak. And here the Mishnah begins. Nasim alanusa v'ala mifuta. An individual who had an out-of-wedlock relationship, which is that they never married this woman. They had either anusa, this woman was raped by the individual, mifuta was seduced by the individual, or even if it was neither of those, even if it was, in a sense, a consensual relationship, but one that was not in the context of marriage. Someone has a relationship with that woman. Then, in those situations, the relatives of that individual are not restricted to the man. And the other way around, too. For the woman, the man's relatives are not restricted to her. Since they never had marriage, marriage is what generates the arayot. Since they were never married, there are no arayot. That's what the Mishnah says. Ha'ones v'amifuta ala nisua chayav. So now, on the other way around, if there's already a marriage relationship that exists, then rape and seduction are culpable. Which is here in the case where, for instance, we could make the case easy. If a person or an individual has a one-time affair with a woman, he can then marry her sister later on. Because since he never married the first woman or had a marriage relationship with the first woman, the sister of that woman is completely mutar to him. On the other hand, if he's married to this woman, then a one-time engagement with the sister of this woman is arayot, and you would be chayav. So the order matters. That if the one-time relationship is before the marriage, then marriage is permitted with the so-called arayot, or what would have been arayot. The other way around, if there's marriage, then the one-time engagement with these women is problematic, because then you do have arayot. Now here, Fred asked about this. This is way back at the beginning of the Masechta. We had this machloke back on Dav Dalid, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, and here it is in the Mishnah, which is Nose Adam, Anusat Aviv, Umifutat Aviv. An individual can marry a woman that was raped or seduced by his father. Again, a woman who never had a marriage relationship with his father. Anusat Beno, Umifunat Beno. And the same thing the other way around. A father can marry a woman that did not have a marriage relationship with her son, even though there was an intimate relationship. So even though a father had an intimate relationship with a woman, the son can marry the woman as long as the father was never married to that woman, and the same in reverse. If a son had an intimate relationship with a woman, the father can marry the woman because there was never a marriage relationship. That's the position of the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. Yehuda Huser, Banusat Aviv, Mufutat Aviv. Yehuda, and this is why it was brought up earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Yehuda believes that that's not true when it comes to the father. When the father has an intimate relationship with a woman, even though there was no marriage, the son cannot marry this woman, and the Gemara will bring the source for the fact of the difference between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. All right, Tanita Lahad de Tan Rabbanan. Our Mishnah corroborates what we see in the Braitot from the Chachamim. Anas Isha Mutar Lisa Bita. If an individual rapes a woman, he can marry the daughter. Because again, here, the intimate relationship was not within the context of marriage. Therefore, there's no arayot. So he can marry the daughter even after the relationship with the mother. Nasa Isha. On the other hand, if the first relationship involved marriage, which is that he married a woman, asur li sabita, then obviously he can't marry the daughter because then you have arayot. So once the intimate relationships in the context of marriage, there are arayot and everybody's off limits. On the other hand, if the first relationship was an intimate relationship outside of marriage, then there are no arayot. Since there are no arayot, he can marry the daughter. Veriminu. Is that really true? Didn't we learn earlier in the Masechta, ha-nit'an min-a-isha? Someone who is, the modern word nitan is used to charge a battery. But here, ha-nit'an min-a-isha here is, rumors are circulating that this individual is having a relationship with such a woman. So there are rumors circulating that he has some sort of intimate relationship with this woman. Asur bi-ima u-bibita u-bachauta. So that he's not allowed to marry the mother, the daughter, or the sister. Now, it's clearly out of wedlock, this relationship that he's rumored to have with this woman. He's not rumored to be married to this woman. He's rumored to be having an intimate relationship with this woman. Yet, over here we're having a statement, which is that he's restricted in the relatives. Mother, daughter, and sister. He's restricted in the relatives. Where it says, midrabanan. That's only an isur drabanan. Then, v'chol heicha de'ika isura midrabanan. So, okay, now, let's say you're right, and there is an Isur de Rabbanan. Tnei nos'in lechatchila. You're going to have a Mishnah, like our Mishnah say, go ahead and get married, l'chatchila. If there's an Isur d'Rabbanan, how can our Mishnah say, you can go ahead and marry the daughter, you can go ahead and marry the mother? How could you say that? If there's still an Isur d'Rabbanan, the Mishnah at least would mitigate its language and say it in a way that's b'diavad. When it says, kitnan matznitin, our Mishnah is talking about a case, l'achar mita, after the death of the woman which she had the intimate relationship with. So now here there's a distinction, and it's an important distinction, which is that if the individual is rumored to have an intimate relationship with a woman, or we know for certain he had an intimate relationship with a woman, then eino chanami min haTorah, he is not restricted in the arayot, in the relatives, because only marriage context creates arayot. On the other hand, mitra banan, he is restricted from marrying those women. How far that restriction goes is subject to a machloket. The way that we have an argument are the three women that are mentioned here, mother, daughter, and sister, that are married. Are they just examples of the relatives of the wife? Or are those specifically those three? And we'll see why there might be a difference between them. But our Mishnah over here that says go ahead and marry them without any restrictions, not even midrabanan, is a case where the woman where he had the intimate relationship with is no longer alive. When she's passed away, then mutar lechatchila in the relatives. So now why? Menahane mile. So where do we know this from? Where do we know this information from? So the Gemara is going to bring Psukim to prove to us what the reason behind this is. But what is the logic behind this? That we learned earlier from the statement about Anitan min Aisha, which is that we're fearful if he conducted an intimate relationship with these women, then he goes ahead and marries a relative, then those women will also be present. Because when an individual marries a woman, her mother will be there on a regular basis. His mother-in-law will be in the house on a regular basis. If he's already conducted an intimate relationship with the mother-in-law, even though it was outside the context of being wed to her, so there's no arayot problem, now what we're fearful for is once he marries the daughter, then that continuation of that intimate relationship now will become arayot. It's no longer just, you know, some intimate relationship. But now that he's married to the daughter, it becomes a problem of arayot. So that's what the question here of ima bitan achuta. Is it specifically these three women, mother, sister, and daughter, who are regularly present with this woman, and that's why they're saying midra banan there as surim, because you would expect these women to be there, and that's going to open up a problem of him having access to these women on a regular basis? Or are they just examples of relatives, and it applies broadly? Because all relatives are sometimes there or available, even though these three are more available, nevertheless it applies to all relatives. That's a machloket of how to interpret this Gemara. So that is the reasoning behind the difference here. Our Mishnah says that after the woman has passed away, he can marry those quote-unquote arayot, is because when the woman's not here, that fear is gone. Because him conducting or continuing this intimate relationship, even after he marries her daughter, her mother, whoever it is that he marries, and would be a problem of arayot, doesn't exist because that person has passed away. Midah Rabbanan, when the woman is alive, even though Min HaTorah, they're not considered to be erva, nevertheless, Rabbanan said, look, this is just going to open up a bad situation. If he marries the daughter, and he's been carrying on an intimate relationship with the mother, and the mother is there on a regular basis, he's likely to continue that relationship. But now, after marrying the daughter, the mother is no longer just some woman. That mother is now his mother-in-law, and that's an Isur Arayot. So now the Gemara says, where is the source from the Torah? The fact that marriage is the generator of arayot and not just simply the intimate relationship. The Tanur Banan, B'kulan Ne'amar Shchiva. When it comes to the arayot in Parshat Kedoshim, it says by all the arayot that you're not allowed to sleep with these individuals. Shchiva is the verb that is used to say that this is restricted. B'kan, by the woman's relatives, meaning that when you marry a woman and engage in her, the arayot that are surround that woman, nemar kicha. Over there it says, kicha is the verb used, not shchiva. And since the word kicha is used, which is, ish kikach et isha ve'et ima, or v'isha lachuta lo tikach, and all those are relatives of the woman that you marry, there, lomar lecha, derech likuchim asra Torah. Only through likuchim, likuchim is a code word in the Torah, because this is the way that it's phrased in terms of marriage. The kuchin is kiddushin, right? It's the way of marriage. So what the Gemara is suggesting, the fact that the Torah switched the verb when it comes to the relatives of the woman, that it uses the verb of lukuchin versus shchiva, which it uses by other arayot, shows you that there's a difference in the nature of the relationship. Obviously, when you're talking about blood relatives, then marriage is not a factor. The only factor is whether this is a she'er, whether this is a relative or not. So there the Torah uses shechiva, because the problem is any type of relationship with this individual, because they're blood relatives. But relationship to the woman, the arayot that surround the woman, that only comes out of a marriage relationship. Well, the women that surround her become asurim as arayot. Amalei, Rav Papa, the Abaye. Rav Papa says to Abaye, Lemiata, Gabi Achuto Dichtiv, what are you going to do? Now, it's not as simple as they made it to seem, which is shechiva is always the verb by all arayot, and the kuchin is the verb by the woman he marries. Because here we have, by Achuto, a sister. A sister is clearly a blood relative, not a marriage relative. And there it says, Ish asher yikach et Achuto, bat avivu bat imo. Hachanami derech kichahu dasur. Only if he marries his sister will it be problematic. Derech shechiva shari. But was it, if it was not in the context of marriage, then it would be totally fine. Obviously, that cannot be the conclusion. But that's what you're suggesting based on this differential between shechiva and kicha. Samalei, likuchin, ktive, b'torah, stam. The Torah uses the word or the verb likuchin in places. Haro'ui likicha, kicha. So in places where it makes sense to translate the word kicha to mean marriage, then we'll translate it as marriage. Haro'ui lishchiva, shchiva. In places where likuchin doesn't make any sense, because you will not be successful at creating a marriage. One cannot marry their sister, no matter how much they try. It won't work, because the kedushin are not tofsin in his sister. So there, clearly the word likicha cannot mean marriage. It must mean shchiva. So as the Torah is saying, the word likuchin is not definitive in what its meaning is. It can mean shchiva, it can be a replacement for the word shchiva, or it could mean marriage. How do I know which is which? Well, you'll take a look. In places where you can marry, then likuchin will mean marriage. In places where you can't marry, likuchin will mean shchiva, will be the equivalent of shchiva. So Rava comes up with a different source for this. The first source that the Gemara brought was this issue of likuchin versus shchiva. Rava brings an alternative over here. Anasi sha mutar lisa bita. Person who rapes a woman is mutar to marry her daughter. Mehocha. This is the source for that. Tiv ervat bat pincha u bat bitcha lo tegale. Says that one may not have a relationship with their grandchild, their granddaughter. But from there you would imply that it uses the possessive form, which is your granddaughter, whether it's through your son or your daughter. Ha bat bina dida, u bat bina dida, bat bita dida gali. On the other hand, it seems to be that one's wife's granddaughter would be permissible to him. So the woman's would be permissible, but his would not be permissible. Uchtiv. But don't we have an explicit pasuk that says, ervat ishau bita lo tigale, et bat bina ved bat bita lo tikach. So there you see that the wife's grandchildren, granddaughters are restricted to him. So how do we reconcile that? There's an explicit pasuk that says granddaughters are restricted. The wife's granddaughters are restricted. You have another pasuk that says your granddaughters are restricted, implying that one's wife's granddaughters would not be restricted. Ha ketzat. How do we do this? Kan be'onsin, kan be'nisuin. So it says that's exactly the difference. Depends what your relationship with this woman is. If your relationship is a relationship of marriage, then the woman's granddaughters are off limits to you. On the other hand, if your relationship with this woman is simply out of wedlock intimacy, then the granddaughters are not restricted to you because they're not considered to be arayot. Without marriage, there is no din of arayot. Where it says ipuchana, how do you know which is which? We just assumed that when is it mutar? When it is out of wedlock, the intimacy is out of wedlock, then the granddaughters are okay. When you're married to the woman, then the granddaughters are restricted. So why don't we flip it around? You're going to say, why would you flip it around? So Tosafot explains over here, because in the case of Nisuin, you married the woman Beheter. There was no Iser violated. So maybe over there, the granddaughters should be permitted. On the other hand, by Anusa, where you did something wrong, since you did something wrong, maybe the granddaughters should be off limits. So that's the logic to flip it around. Where it says, Arayot She'er K'tiv Behu. Arayot are called she'er, relatives, closeness. So that is, b'nisuin ika she'er. When there's marriage, there is relationship. There is closeness, there's kirva. Be'onsin, like a she'er. When it comes to rape, there is no relatives here, because by definition, it's a one-time relationship. It's not a sustained relationship that creates relatives or creates she'er. So the restriction of she'er is going to apply when they are married. It will not apply when they are not married. And that's the distinction that Rava draws over here. Obviously, Rava's answer avoids the problem of Shkiva and Kicha, the problem that we faced in the Gemara. So he has this alternative source for the fact that only in marriage context are the arayot created. Outside of marriage context, intimacy will not create arayot. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Osir ben Usat Aviv, this is the machloket that we saw in the Mishnah, as to whether a father's intimate relationship with a woman restricts that woman to the son. The Chachamim say no, the Tanakhama says it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says no. So, Amar Rav Gido Amar Rav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position? Dichtiv. Because it says, Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, velo yigale knaf aviv. So we've looked at this extensively earlier in the Masechta, but you have two statements in the Pasuk. One of them is clear, Lo yikach ish et eshet aviv. A person may not marry his father's wife. We assume here it's a stepmother, it's not his mother, but it's an eshet aviv, someone who's not his mother, but the wife of his father. But then there's a second statement in the Pasuk, which is Lo yigale knaf aviv. Why is that not just repetitious? A repetition of the first part of the Pasuk. Don't marry or do not be involved with your father's wife. And then it says, do not expose your father. So why is that second part of the Pasuk? Knaf, Shira Aviv, Lo Yigale. So that's the way that Yudo is interpreting this is a knaf that saw, a wing that saw your father, do not expose. Meaning that anybody who's had an intimate relationship with your father may not be exposed. You cannot have a relationship with her. That's the way Rabbi Yehuda is learning it. Mimai dibe anusaktiv. How do you know that it's not talking about a marriage relationship and it's talking about an out of wedlock intimate relationship? Right? Because you could have just interpreted it as being within the context of marriage. Dichti milave dikra. Because before that, in the psukim, in Parshat Ki Teitzeh, it says, Natana ish ashochev ima lavia ni'ara chamishim kesef. The parshiyah beforehand is speaking about anus, the case of anusa, case of rape. So there's a case of rape right before that. And then it leads into these psukim, which are lo yikach ish et eshet aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv. So what he says is the juxtaposition of those two parshiyot teach you that the context in which lo yigale knaf aviv is said is a case of anusa. V'rabonon, iyo v'samich lei kedamart. If they really were juxtaposed, you would be correct. So now that it's not juxtaposed, what do you mean it's not juxtaposed? Look at the way the Pasuk lays out. The Pasuk is, Lo yikach et eshet aviv, and then Lo yigale knaf aviv. Between Lo yigale knaf aviv and the parshiyah of Anusa beforehand, is this little insertion here about marriage, which is Lo yikach et eshet aviv. So they say basically, there's no juxtaposition here. Juxtaposition means right up against it. Over here you have another a law that sits in between them, that separates between these two dinim. So therefore, we need it, the kravanan. This again, we saw earlier in the Masechta, damar avanan amar shmo, bishomeret yavam shel aviv akaduv midaber. It's talking about a case where his aunt is now waiting for yibum from his father. So the uncle passed away. The uncle passed away without any children. And now his father is obligated to perform yibum or chalitza with this woman. She is a yivama waiting for his father. So he says that is what the restriction over here is. That lo yigale knaf aviv is umay knaf aviv. Knaf haro'ui l'aviv lo yigale. Not that someone who's had an intimate relationship with the father, but rather someone who is appropriate for his father to have a relationship. Meaning that there is some sort of binding relationship between the father and this woman. That's the yivama. Even though no intimacy has yet to take place, but it's someone who is ra'ui for his father, he may not engage with this woman. Mar says, "V'timikle mishum dodato." Shouldn't she just be restricted because she's his aunt, right? She was married to his uncle before this. She's problematic to him. Nothing to do with his father. It's because his uncle was married to this woman. Obviously, it goes through his father, but he doesn't need. You don't need another Easter to tell me that when she's waiting for Yibom, that she's restricted. She's simply restricted because she's his aunt. So why don't we do that? Lavor aleh b'shnei lavin. That you get two lavin. One love for Dodato, and one love for Lo Yigale Knaf Aviv when she's a Yivama. V'tipikle mishum Yivama l'shuk. Wait a minute, a Yivama herself is restricted from having a relationship with a third party. I mean that if she's not, as yet to have Chalitzar Yibum perform with her, she's restricted from having a relationship with another party, which is Lo Tia Eshet Ameit Achutza L'Ish Zar. She's not allowed to engage in a relationship. So So there's a restriction on him just from that perspective. Forget about his father. Any Yivama has that restriction.
Any person at all.
Right. And not even him. Even anybody else would have that restriction. It says, Davar Levish Lusha, Levin. In Achanami, you're right. Three Levin are associated with this woman. A Yivama that is waiting for his father. Perform Yivam Chalitza with her. For this child, there are three restrictions to him. Dodato, his aunt. Lo, Tia Eshinameta Chutzalish Zar. Restriction against Yivama engaging in an outside relationship. Plus, lo yigalei knaf aviv, three lavin that are associated. V'ibaitema la'achar mita. Now, the other possibility is that after his father's passing. So now, after his father's passing, there's no restriction of Yivama, the shuk, because there is no more status of Yivama. His father passed away, she's automatically released. She's not a Yivama anymore because there's nobody to marry her. Chalitza and Yibum can deal with it, but so can death. Death can also eliminate any zika between the father and this woman. So if his father passes away, then there's no restriction. But then he's still left with two restrictions, which will be Donato, his aunt, who's still restricted, plus the restriction of Lo Yigalei Knaf Aviv, which will even exist beyond the death of his father. That still exists there. Okay, now... Alright, so now we have here a series of mishalot. These are all parables. And the way Rashi terms it is, v'rigilim b'nei adam l'umram. These are common wisdom of the folks. This is like folklore. And these were mishalot, chidot, we'll call them riddles. And then you have to figure out the scenario in which these riddles are said. The purpose of this is somewhat inconclusive. We don't know why the Gemara is doing this, why they're interpreting this. But the way Tosafot suggests over here, and we're going to get to this in a second, Tosafot suggests that these are riddles for the Chachamim to interpret, and it was a way to get rid of the claims of the Tzdukim. That the Tzdukim were making claims that the Chachamim either made up things, or these are not real, or how do you come up with this? The fact that the Gemara can interpret them and can decipher the riddles shows that the Chachamim knew what was happening, and these aren't just meaningless statements. So it's a question here if these are just folklore types of mishalim, riddles, or parables, or are these really statements of the Chachamim, and now they're being justified, so that Tzdukim don't have questions by it, and now the Gemara is going to interpret those statements. Either way, it's a very difficult Gemara, and again, the purpose of which is not so clear, even with Tosafot here. In addition to that, the relationships here are so convoluted that it's hard to understand why there's a lot of value in terms of the interpretation of this. And basically what you're going to have is you're going to have a woman saying to another party, I have multiple relationships with you. I'm related to you in multiple manners. And then now we're going to have to interpret the riddle is to figure out how she's related to this individual in multiple manners. So here, ach me'av velo me'naim. Person is, they are related through the father, but not the mother. Vehu bala, de'em. And she is the husband of the mother. Va'ana brato, din tete. And I'm the daughter of his wife. So, amirami barchama, delo kareb Yehuda, demitanitan. That, mashal, is a case that does not fit with Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that Anusat Aviv is a sword to the Ben. The only situation that this could be true, or this Mashal can work out, is when a case where there was an Anusat Mufutat Aviv here. Okay, look in Rashi. Achi me'avi nasa'et imi. My brother through my father married my mother. So what was the case here? Hainu, Yaakov went ahead and was Anas Isha. He had a outside of wedlock relationship with a woman. So you have Yaakov as a out of wedlock relationship with a woman. And through that, there was a child born, a daughter that was born. We'll call her Bat Anusat Yaakov. That's what we'll call her. On the other hand, Yaakov has a relationship with another woman, a married relationship. He's married to another woman, no relationship to the woman that he raped. He has a relationship to her, married to her. And through that woman, he has a child named Reuven. So now, the relationship between the daughter, Bat Anusat Yaakov, and Reuven. What is their relationship? So first of all, they are brother and sister through a common father. They share a common father, Yaakov. That's what she said. Ach miav below minay. We are brothers, meaning that we have a brother-sister relationship through our father, but not through our mother. Now, he is my mother's husband. Reuven, who is Yaakov's legitimate son from another relationship, can now marry the woman that Yaakov raped. Because, as we said in our Mishnah, that the father's intimate relationship with the woman does not restrict her on the child. So Reuven can go ahead and marry that woman that Yaakov had raped. And when he does that, that's what she's saying here. V'hu bala de'ein. My brother Reuven is my mother's husband because he's permitted to marry her. V'ana brata de'intete. And I'm the daughter of his wife because he married her mother. So obviously I'm the daughter of his wife. So what Rami Bar Chama says over here, this is obviously not like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that anusat aviv, you're not allowed to marry. So in that case, this scenario could never come up, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because if Yaakov raped a woman, then Reuven would not be permitted to marry her. So therefore, this case doesn't exist according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, who say a person is allowed to marry a woman that his father had an intimate relationship with, no problem. That's the case over here. All right, now, we're going to have more of these riddles, and then we're going to have to put them together. The Gemara is going to give you the answer to the riddle, and then we'll have to go back and work on it, which is, here's the first of these. Achu, who's a brother. Ubarihu, he's a son. Achateana, I'm his sister. Dahai, the Darina, Katfai, saying, I am based on the one that is riding on my shoulders. Mishkachado, Be'ovi Kochavim, Abalbito. That is a case where an Ovid Kochavim had a relationship with his daughter. The remaining cases here, except for the last one, we're going to be talking about Ovid Kochavim. The reason the Gemara obviously used Ovid Kochavim is because these are all illicit relationships. So since they were illicit relationships, they didn't want to talk about a Jewish relationship, so they made the story be a story about an Ovid Kochavim in order to generate these relationships. So let us say here, in this instance here, which is you have Haran, who has a child named Milcah. He has a daughter named Milcah. And then Haran rapes his daughter Milcah. And through that relationship, a son Esav is born. So now let's go through the different possibilities over here. He says, first of all, Achu. She said before that he is my brother. Esav is Milcah's brother because they share a common father, Haran. So then Brihu, he's my son. Well, Esav is her son because she gave birth to Esav, so that's why he's his son. And then, Achateana, again, I am his sister, the same way that she said before Achu, that he's my brother, I am his sister because we share a common father. All right, so that's the second case. Next case is, Shalom Alechabri, hello my son, Bat Achateich, the daughter of your sister, Mishkachala, what's that case? It's a case where the Ovid Kochavim had a relationship with his granddaughter. So again, here we'll start with Haran. Haran has a daughter named Milcah. And then his daughter Milcah has a daughter named Rivka. So you have Haran, Milcah, Rivka. Haran then has an illicit relationship with Rivka, his granddaughter. And through that relationship, Esav is born. So now, Rivka, in speaking about Esav, the granddaughter, in speaking about Esav that is born from this relationship to the grandfather and the granddaughter, she will say about him, Shama l'chabri, you know, hello my son, because it's Rivka's son. Through her grandfather having this relationship, it's her son, she is the mother of Esav. On the other hand, it's Bat Achateichana. I am the daughter of your sister, because her mother is Milcah. Milcah is the daughter of Haran. Esav is also the son of Haran. So Esav and Milcah are brother and sister. So Rivka can say to Esav, I am your sister's daughter. So that's how he's going to be expressed. Again, that's how this comes to fruition. Now the Gemara says, Dlai de Dalu Davlo. So this is where the difference between Rashi and Tosafot comes up about this sugya, which is you drawers of water. That's the literal translation here. Lipo b'chu satar. So they should come to you, these things that are hidden. Or the Gisa Daroch is nish'al b'chu. Will ask you these hidden things. Patar. And you should interpret them. So again, Rashi says, Dali dalu dalu davo is these water drawers. This is the things, these are the folklore, the things that are said by the water drawers. This is like the common folklore that is said. Tosafot says, no, what does that mean? to draw water. That's a figurative draw water. That's why we have the Chachamim. Chachamim, come, draw your water from the Mayim Amukim, which is Torah, and explain to us what's going on over here. Dai, the Darina, who, this individual, who, Bar, is a son, Bana Brat Achua, and I'm the daughter of his brother. Mishkachala, Be'ovei Chachamim, about Bat Bino. So it's the same scenario as before, except that the interim stage has a son instead of a daughter, which is here. Haran has a son named Bituel, and Bituel has a daughter named Rivka. Haran has an improper relationship with Rivka, his granddaughter, and from that is born Esav. So now she can say, Bar Hu, he is my son. Esav is the son of Rivka, when Rivka is speaking to Esav, but she's also, I am the daughter of your brother. Because Bituel and Esav share a common father, Haran, so they are brothers. Since they are brothers, she can say, Rivka can say, I am the daughter of your brother. So you're both my son, and I am the daughter of your brother. So those both relationships exist in that scenario. Bayi, bayi. So here that's like an expression, Rashi says, Kobilat ani. Woe is me, in that sense. Me'ach, he is my brother. Vu'av, and he's a father. Vu Baal, and he's a husband. Vu Bar Baal, and he's the son of a husband. Vu Baala De'im, he's the husband of my mother. Vana Brato De'itete, and I am the daughter of his wife. Velo Yav Pita Lachua, he won't give bread to his brothers, Yatme, that are orphans. Bnei Brate, the sons of his daughter. Mishkachala, what is the case here? And again, we'll go back through all the pieces of the riddle. Bovi Kochavim Abalimo. In case when Ovid Kochavim had a relationship with his mother, Va'olid Mimenu Bat, and he has a daughter. V'chazer Baal Auta Bat, and then again he has an illicit relationship with that daughter. V'chazer Zakein, and then the grandfather comes in, Ubaleha, Va'olid Mimenu Banim, and then they have children. Right, so here I'm not going to use names, I'm going to use the terminology that is used by the Gemara. We have Zakein and Imo. We'll call it Zakein and Imo have a child named Ovid Kochavim. The Ovid Kochavim is the son of the marriage of the Zakein and Imo and the mother. So Zakein and Imo have a relationship, and they have a child, Oved Kochavim. This Oved Kochavim goes ahead and has a illicit relationship with Imo, with his mother. Through that is born a bat, a daughter. So that daughter then is a daughter to the Oved Kochavim and his mother. Then the Zakein goes ahead and has an intimate relationship with that daughter, the bat Oved Kochavim. And from that relationship is born a son. In addition to that, the Ovid Kochavim himself has a relationship with that daughter, his own daughter, and has a child. So then, in speaking here, the daughter, going back to what she said before, Me'ach, we are brother and sister. So the daughter, the bat that was born here, says to the Ovid Kochavim that you are my brother because we share a common mother. The aim of the Ovid Kochavim is also the mother of his daughter. So since they're related through the mother, they share a common mother, they are brothers. Brother means here any like brother-sister relationship. We're brothers and sisters through our common mother. Vu'av, he's also my father. His daughter says about the Ovid Kochavim, he is my father because she was born of the relationship between the Ovid Kochavim and Imo and his mother. Vihu Baal, he's also my husband. Because the Ovid Kochavim had a relationship with his daughter, which produced a child. So he's also a husband. Vu Bar Baal, he's also the son of my husband, because the Ovid Kochavim's father had a relationship with his daughter. So therefore, he is the son of my husband. Husband not in the literal sense of husband, because she didn't marry him, but because she had a child through the Zakein. The Zakein and the Bat got together and had a child. So vis-a-vis the Ovid Kochavim, she is the wife of his father. So that's why he is the son of my husband. Vihu ba'ala de'im. He's also the husband of my mother. Because the Ovid Kochavim, again, slept with his mother. So therefore, she is the husband of his mother. Vana brato de'itete. And I am the daughter of his wife. Because his wife, quote unquote, was his mother. So I'm the daughter of his wife. And the same thing, ba'ala de'im is really a repetition, as Rashi says, of the same statement before, vihu av, that he's my father. Obviously, if he's my father, she is the husband of my mother. So that's why in both of those are repetition, but they just want to have more things in this case. Velo yahi pita lachua, yatme bnei brate. So then he won't give bread to his brothers, Yatmei, that are orphaned, B'nei Beratei, the children of his daughter. I mean that his grandchildren are also his brothers. So because since his father slept with his daughter and had children, those children are his brothers through the father, but they're also his grandchildren through his daughter. All right, so now we have two more cases like this. Ana va'at achai. You and I are brother and sister. Ana va'avuch achai. I and your father are brother and sister. Ana v'imeich. I and your mother, achai, are also brother and sister. So mishkachala, what's the case here? Ve'ove kuchavim habal imo, that had relations with his mother. Ve'od milid mimenu shtei banot. Then he had two daughters. V'chazar bal achat man, and then he had a relationship with one of those daughters. Ve'od mimenu ben. And he had a son from that relationship. V'karilei achai di'ima. So then his mother's sister is saying to him, V'karilei hachi, is speaking to this son in that situation. So again, here, I'm just going to use names. Imo had a child named Ovid Kochavim. From that relationship with the Ovid Kochavim, having a relationship with his mother, are born Bat 1 and Bat 2. Then the Ovid Kochavim has a relationship with his own daughter, Bat 1. And that produces a ben, that produces a son. So Bat 2 says to that son, these are our relationships. First of all, Ana v'atachai. You and I are brothers and sisters because we share a common father. The Ovid Kochavim is the father of Bat 2. He's also the father of the Ben, because they were born of relationships with his mother and his daughter, but they share a common father, the Ovid Kochavim. Ana v'avuch achai, I and your father are brother and sister, because they share a common mother. The Ovid Kochavim slept with his mother and produced Bat number 2, but he's also the son of Imo. So they are brother and sister through a common mother. So that's what she's saying. I and your father are brother and sister. Ana v'imeich achai. I and your mother are, here we're sisters, because obviously they share a common father and mother, which is that they overcome himself with his mother and produced Bat 1 and Bat 2. So they are sisters, and therefore she can make these three statements that I am a sister to you, I'm a sister to your father, and I'm a sister to your mother. And that's how that comes about. All right, now we have one more case, which is the most complex case. So, Ana va'at b'nei achai. You and I are sons of brothers. Ana va'avuch b'nei achai. I and your father are children of brothers. Ana v'imeich. I and your mother are b'nei achai, are children of brothers. Ha b'deheitera namim shkachala. Here's a case where you actually can find it b'heter. We don't have to have a convoluted relationship here, which is kigon. Ruvain Chieshlo Shte Banot. So Ruvain, Yaakov has three children. That'll be important here. Yaakov has three children. Ruvain, Shimon, and Levi. So he has three children. Ruvain, his son, has two daughters, Bat 1 and Bat 2. Vata Shimon, his brother Shimon, goes ahead, Venasav Chada Minayu, marries Bat 1 and produces a Ben 1. So Shimon marries his niece, Bat 1, and produces Ben 1. Vata Bar Levi. And then his brother Levi has a son, his nephew, but Nasiv Chaminau marries his daughter. Reuven's daughter, Batu, marries his nephew, Levi's son. So they are first cousins that married. Vikamrele braid de Shimon, the son of Shimon, the bar braid de Levi, saying to the grandson of Levi. When they're speaking to each other, they can say this, which is, Ana v'at b'nei achai. You and I are the children of brothers. So Ben 1, which is the product of Shimon and his niece, Reuben's daughter, and the product of Reuben's daughter and the son of Levi, meaning the first cousins, they are Banim Shel Achayot. Their mothers are sisters. They have a mother, Bat 1 and Bat 2 are sisters, and each one of them is the mother of each of these children. So he said, we are the children, that's what he's saying, then we are children of brothers, I mean really sisters over here, we are children of sisters. Ana v'avuch b'nei achai. And then he says, I and your father are the children of sisters, because the Ben 1, who is the product of Shimon and his niece, and the Av of Ben 2, the father of Ben 2, he can say to him, prodigy of Shimon and Levi. So Shimon's son can say to Levi's grandson, my father and your father were the product of brothers, because his father, Ben 2's father, was the son of Levi. And so therefore that his father, Bar Levi, is the son of Levi, and I'm the son of Shimon, which makes us first cousins. We are the children of Shimon and Levi, our brothers. So I and your father are our first cousins. I and your mother are also first cousins. Why? Because, again, the Ben here is the product of Bat 1, Reuven's daughter, and he is the product of Bat 2, which is the Ben. So then he can say, Ben 1 and the mother of Ben 2 were children of brothers, because the daughter was the child of Reuven, and I am the child of Shimon. So I'm the child of Shimon, your mother is the child of Reuven, we are first cousins. So basically what he's saying is, this child is saying, I am your first cousin, I'm your father's first cousin, and I'm your mother's first cousin. And again, you can create that scenario where one brother has two daughters, one of the brothers married his niece, and the other one had a child who married the niece, meaning that the first cousin's married, and the children born of those two relationships have all these different connections, that they are first cousins with the father, and first cousins with the mother. All right, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. All right, this takes us away from this. Again, I said before, it's not so clear what the Gemara was doing. It's interpreting all these riddles. The purpose of interpreting the riddles is not clear. Tosfot says it was to give tshuva to tzdukim. Obviously, there might have been some problem here with the tzdukim, and they had to interpret it. According to Rashi, it was just folklore, and just showing that the Chachamim couldn't make sense out of these folklores, even though maybe the people didn't really understand the folklores or these riddles, but the Chachamim were wise enough to explain to us how these riddles work. All right. Agioret shinit gairu banaima. A woman who converts and her children convert with her. Lo chotzim velo miyabmim. There's no chalitzar yibum between them, meaning that these children that are now converted Jews do not have relationship brothers, even though they share a common mother, because they were related through a non-Jewish mother. They were non-Jewish. When they converted, they lose all yichus. They lose all familiar relationships, because we'll see the Gemara says that a ger is ke tinok shenolad dami. Afilu horato shorishon shelo bikdusha. Even if the first brother was conceived before the conversion of the mother, veledoto bikdusha, but he was born after his mother converted, v'sheni horato veledoto bikdusha, and the second brother was conceived and born after the conversion of his mother, you still have these rules. These rules still apply, that they are not considered to be brothers for Yibum and Chalitza. V'chein shivcha shenishtacharu banei ima. The same rule applies to a shivcha who was freed with her children, because that freedom of the shivcha kananit involves really a conversion process that we've spoken about before. That completes the conversion process, becomes a full-fledged Jew at that time. So it's the equivalent of conversion. So it's the same structure as what you saw in the first part of the Mishnah. B'nei Yudan Amto, the children of this Shivcha Knanit Yudan, Ishtachror, she was freed. Sharlo Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, the Mintzav Nesheid Adodi. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov let her children marry each other's wives. Not in the context of Yibum. Irrespective of Yibum, he looked at them as not being related to each other. Since they're not related to each other, then you can marry the woman even outside the context of Yibum. It's like any other woman that had a previous marriage. If her husband's no longer there, passed away, of course you can marry this woman. So Tobiah, these brothers, even without the context of Yibum, so maybe the brother divorced her, didn't, or passed away, he can marry this woman even if she has children. He can marry this woman like any other party could, because they have no relationship to each other. Amalei Rava Vahav Sheshit Asar. Says Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, how could you say it's mutar? Rav Sheshit said it's asur. No problem. He said it's a sur. I say it's mutar. We disagree. Okay. Mina av velo mina aim. Now the Gemara talks about this machloka between them. If they share a common father and not a common mother, they're brothers through the father. Kulei amapog lo plige de shari. Everybody agrees that they are mutarim. They're not considered to be related at all if their only common parent is a father. The reason for that is, as Rashi says over here, the stam ovede kochavim zonahi umisha cherhu. That the Stam, Oved Kochavim, has multiple relationships, and therefore, even if they share, quote-unquote, a common father, we're not so certain that they have a common father, because we are choshesh that their mother had relationships with other men, and therefore, they're not really brothers through the father. And so, for sure, we're going to say that they have no relationship to each other, because there's no yichus through the father for non-Jews. Mina ein v'lo mina av, if they are related only through their mother, they're brothers through the mother, not the father. There we say that they are asur to each other, because, as Rashi notes over here, that you were going to mix them up. The Gemara will say later on, you're going to mix them up with the Israel. Over here, we're certain they're brothers because they share a common mother. So we know for sure that the mother gave birth to both of them. So we know they're brothers from the mother. Over there, we will not allow them, even though it's Mutar Min HaTorah, we're not going to allow them to act with each other as if they're not brothers, because then Jews who see this happening are going to make a mistake about the way to conduct Yibam or Chalitza, and therefore we say they should not interact with each other as if they are not brothers. They should act as if they are brothers, even though there's no requirement. They will perform Chalitza with these women, because we want people to see that Yavamah doesn't go free without Chalitza. Kiplige, where's their argument? Mina Abu Mina Aim, if they share a common father and mother. Their parents, they share both parents. Then, Man Deshari Batar Abba Shadinan. The one who says it's mutar says, well, when you have both parents, we assume that the assignment is to the father. And we said before, with the father, that's mutar. Da b'nei planya karuluhu. Because what do you call them? You call them by their father's name. You know, when they get called up to the Torah, they got called up by their father's name. When they're in public, how do they identify themselves? There were no surnames in those days. How did you identify yourself? You were Ploni, Ben Ploni. You were the son of Ploni. That's how you were identified. Rav Sheshi karuluhu nami b'nei plonite, plonita or plonit. That even though, yes, in general, they're known by their father's name, sometimes they're also known by their mother's name. So it's not that they're just known as their children of the father. They're also known as children of the mother. If they're known as children of the mother, that presents the issue that we said before. If they're brothers to the mother, that can get mixed up with a Jewish relationship, and therefore we won't let it go through. So their machloket is, when they share both parents, which one is the governing parent here? Is it the father, which we said everybody agrees when it's just the father, it's mutar? Or is it the mother? Because we said before that everybody agrees when it's the mother, it's asur. V'ikadamar, and there's some that say, Polig Ravacha b'Yakov afilu b'achin minayim. Some people say Ravacha b'Yakov disagrees even with brothers who share a common mother. Umay taima, what's the reasoning? Ger, shnit kayer, kikatan shenolad dami. Because of the reasoning that goes along with all of this, which is a convert is as if he's a newborn baby. If it's a newborn baby, he has no relationships, no relatives. So that's the scenario over here. No relatives. Over here, because not that Rav Sheshit disagrees with that. Rav Sheshit agrees with that statement. He just says that we have to be gozer atu Israel. For the case where it's a mother, then we're going to be gozer atu Israel. And the same thing with mother and father, we're going to be gozer atu Israel. But not by a father. Rav Yachim Yaakov says we're not gozer anywhere. And everybody knows that a ger has no relationships. And since he has no relationships, anything that's taking place, we're not going to copy. Israel will not copy. It's none. Our Mishnah, Giyorech Nidgaru Banayima, Lo Chotzim Velo Miyamim. My Taima. Why is it that there's no Chalitza and Yibum over here when you have these brothers that convert? Lav Mishum Dasire. Isn't it because they're not allowed to perform Yibum and Chalitza, which would support Rav Sheshit's position? Lo, Deina B'Torat Chalitza V'Yibum. Not that they're not allowed, it's just they're not in the Parsha of Chalitza and Yibum because they're not considered to be brothers at all. Visharya, La'alma. And therefore, she's muteret to go without any chalitza and yibum. This woman can go out and marry a third party because she's not subject to yibum. Vinhu nami sharu, and they themselves are also mutarim. So that's the way that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would have to read the Mishnah versus Rav Sheshit. When it says vaktani, doesn't the Mishnah continue and say afilu iamart? Afilu. Afterwards, it says in the Mishnah afilu. One of them was conceived before the conversion, and the other one was conceived after the conversion. Even in that case, the same din of the ratio applies. Iyamar bishlama asiri. If you're saying they're not allowed to form yibum and chalitza, hainu duktani afilu. That's why it says in the Mishnah, afilu. Af agav derishon orotosh lo bikdusha, veleidotob bikdusha. Even though the first brother was born bikdusha, even though he was conceived shlo bikdusha, vasheni orotob veleidotob bikdusha, ukushte imaho damo. And so, and if they have two mothers, afilu achi asiri, still they remain asurim. So that if you suggest over here that the Mishnah is talking about you may not perform Yibum and Chalitza, then we can understand why in the latter half of the Mishnah it says Afilu. Even in the case where they are both born after their mother's conversion, but just because one of them is conceived before, they're Afilu in that case, they're still Asurim. Even though they are look like they're very related and looks like they were both born after the conversion, nevertheless, we say they're not related because of the conception beforehand, because it's as if they have two mothers. But Eliyah Mart Sharu, if you read it like Rav Sheshit, that the Mishnah is saying that they don't have any Yibum and Chalitza, then my Afilu. What does it mean, Afilu? Da'af Agav, the Tarvayu Le'etan Mikdusha? Wait a minute, what does that mean, Afilu? That since both of them are going to be born Mikdusha, V'ata Le'chlufe B'Yisrael, Afilu Achi Shari. So that's what it means, Afilu. Even though Both of them look like they should be shayach in the parsha of Yibum. And they will get mixed up with a regular Yisrael because they were both born after the conversion. Nevertheless, they still remain mutar. And that's the chiddush according to Rav Sheshet in the Mishnah, that a filo, even though they look very much like a regular Jewish brother and two brothers, nevertheless, we're not gozer there, and they will remain mutarim to each other. I mean, there is no Yibum and Chalitza because one of them was conceived before, and one of them was conceived after the conversion. Therefore, they don't have a status of brothers. Because they don't have a status of brothers, there's no Yibum over here. Ikedamre, some read this the other way around, which is Hachinami Mistavra. Rav Sheshet's reading of the Mishnah is more logical. The Sharu, that it is mutarim to each other, there's no parsha of Yibum Chalitza for these two brothers. The Tani Afilu, because afterwards it says Afilu. Iyamart Bishlamo Sharu, if you say that they are mutarim to each other, Hainu Diktanu Afilu. Now I understand what Afilu is. Even though they were both born after the conversion, the Ati Lechlufe Beisrael, that you're more likely to mix them up with the regular case of Israel. Filuachu Sharu. That's the Chiddush, that they're mutarim. Eliyamart Asire, if you say they're Asirim, my Afilu. Then what's the Afilu over here? What's the Chiddush of Afilu? So the answer is, like we said before, in the first case we did is Dafa Gavde Rishon Oratash Lobik Dusha, even though the first one was conceived before the conversion, Vileto Tobik Dusha, and it was born after the conversion, Vesheni Oratah Vileto Tobik Dusha, the second was completely after the conversion, Vishteim Otami, and they are considered like two mothers, Afilo Achi Asire, they still remain Asurim, they still may not perform Yibum and Chalitza, even though they are considered not to be related in a sense, because one seems to be, was conceived before, and one was conceived afterwards, which would make it as if they had different mothers, the mother before the conversion, the mother after the conversion. Nevertheless, they remain asurim, because they were both born b'kdusha, and ati lechlufei b'Yisrael. Tashma. Shnei achim te'omim ge'irim. Two brothers, twin brothers, that are converts. V'chein mishuchrarim. And the same thing is true with two brothers who were free. They were, their mother was a Shifcha Kananit, and then they were freed. So, lo cholzim, v'lo miyabmim. They are not choletzum miyabim, each other's, wives. Vein chayavim mishum neishlach. On the other hand, they also don't have a problem neishlach. The reason they don't have to do yimim chalitza is because they have no relationship to each other. Haita horutan shlo bikdusha, v'leidotan bikdusha. If they were conceived before the conversion and born after the conversion, lo cholzim, v'lo miyabim, they are not, they do not perform chalitza and yibum, because they're not in the parsha, they're not really brothers. But aval chayavim mishumei shirach. They are still chayav mishumei shirach. Hayta hurutan b'leidat tam b'kdusha. If they were conceived and born after the conversion, then arehem ki yisraelim l'chol divrehem. Then they are full-fledged yisraelim. Tani miyat. Nevertheless, it says in the Mishnah, ein chayavim mishumei shirach. They're not chayavim mishumei shirach. So the Gemara says that, based on this braita, it says that they are not chayavim mishumei shirach. The deal the Gemara wants to make is chiyuv aleka. They're not culpable ha'isureika. They will not be punished, but there's still a restriction against their marrying. So then that goes against what we just said before, that there is no restriction. Ger shenit gayer kekatan shenola dami. So if that's the case, why do they have any relationship here? Okay, yes, you won't punish them for ishidach, but you're saying it's asur. Why is it asur? The Gemara says, u'adin dafilu isura nami leka. Not only are they not chayav, they're also not asurim. V'aydi divide the mitna seifa aval chayavin. Because in the seifa, you have to say that they are culpable for eshedach. Taninami resha ain chayavim. So in parallel structure, it says in the beginning of the braita, ain chayavim. But not to tell you ain chayavim, but there is an isur. No, ain chayavim and ain isur. Ain chayavim here means there's no isur at all. It uses lashon of ain chayavim because the latter after the braita has to use the language of chayavim. So this is just the opposite of that in parallel structure, but not to come to make a diuk. The ein chayavim means yisur, and they're mutarim the gamre. And that's supportive of what we said before, that when you have brothers that convert, they have no relationship to each other, and therefore there's no yisur of eshedach between them. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Tzarichet Amud Aleph.